Who in a lottery of mine have ever believed or expected that God could use a lowly man to write a book on such a grand subject? It is truly God's grace that moved me, a man who had no desire or ability for writing, to complete this book. God had to work the clay and move his hands over the pottery of my life to enable me to begin and finish this project. Chapter 1 is not where the story began. It started near the end of the year of 2007 at Dwight Chapel in Belchertown, Mass. On a Sunday morning. I was at church listening to a sermon on the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. One point that stood out to me was that Jesus appeared to his disciples after the resurrection. This appearance showed that he knew them, loved them, and wanted to be with them. One of the main points I drew from the sermon was that Jesus was showing us that our relationships continue into eternity. In the middle of the sermon, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. I heard a verbal command, but deep within my being, I heard the words, "I want you to write a book on this subject. I want you to write about heaven." All through the sermon, the voice spoke deep within me. I tried to suppress the voice and said, "This is all in my head. It's me talking, not God." The voice commanded on and on, saying, "I want you to write a book about heaven." It did not stop there, but continued throughout the day and into the days and weeks to come. I had no desire to write a book, and I did not even like writing of any type. I prefer talking on the phone or in person. I have never heard a study or a sermon about heaven, but I had some idea what heaven was like from studying the scriptures. However, I have never immersed myself deeply into the subject, but the voice continued telling me to write, write, and write. The voice continued for the next month or two. I tried to suppress the voice because I did not know if it was coming from me or was truly the Lord's calling. One day I was at work, and during lunch, I wanted to settle the matter once and for all. I decided to write one page. I spent about 40 minutes writing the first page with no thoughts or direction. After this, I showed it to a couple co-workers, including my brother Brian Dupree and Dave Matuzik, and asked their opinion. After reading it, they said it was really good and wanted to hear what happened next in a story. This was a surprise, so I wrote the next page and showed it to them. They both agreed that I should continue. At this point, I decided to commit to write one chapter, which was 2.5 pages long. I decided to email it to my pastor to get another opinion. Here is the original email dated Sunday, January 20th, 2008. I kept the email as originally sent, so the reader will get an idea of where I was in my writing. "Hi, Emmanuel. This is what I got so far. Email me back if you have any suggestions or comments. I have no real direction, and I'm going in just typing as stuff comes in my mind. Don't worry about grammar, etc. Context only. Email me back at work." After he read the first chapter, I met with him. He basically said, "Alan, this is surprising. I never would have expected this to come from you." He could say this because he knows me. He continued, "The Lord may be bringing forward a gift of writing in you. I think you should continue with the book." So the book began with a little wind behind the sails. One of the problems I had was that I had no idea or direction on what to write. I never knew what the next paragraph was going to be, never mind the next chapter. Another person said, "Create tension in heaven and write about that." None of these things were pursued because I am not organized in any way. Each chapter came into being by hearing a sermon or reading something in the scriptures. And that same voice which inspired me to begin writing would say, "I want you to write about this." I looked for help and direction, but God seemed to be continually closing every door. I tried to get help from various people, but they all fell through because of other commitments, and possibly because I did not pursue them persistently enough. I was looking for someone who would allow me to write and breathe life into the story while they would correct it grammatically. I did not find anyone who was able to walk alongside me for the entire process. I continued writing on my own with no direction. I wanted the book to be about 220 pages, but my progress was very slow. Over the years, I got most of the book done and decided I needed help getting the story out to people. I started pursuing publishers or someone who could take my idea to the next level. I tried contacting a few people and companies, but everything seemed to fall to the wayside. God began pushing me again to finish the book, to bring it to completion. But I would work on it for a week or two, and then it would take a back seat to other priorities. Finally, God moved me to approach another man in my church named Rusty. Rusty agreed to follow behind me, clean up my grammar, and make suggestions. He was willing to read the first chapter and show me my grammatical mistakes. When I received the first chapter from him, it was covered with red ink and lots of changes in sentence structure. He also said I was missing something called descriptive writing. That's how much I know about writing. Don't even ask me what a verb, adjective, or a compound sentence is. When I asked what descriptive writing was, he gave me a few examples and he suggested I read a few books that showed what it looks like. One book was Piercing the Darkness by Frank Peretti, which I had read years ago. After I learned what descriptive writing was, I started rewriting my book. I finished chapter 1 and 2, and then I got irritated because I just wanted it to be done. At the same time, I was listening to Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan on CD. As I was listening to it, I noticed it was mostly dialogue and not descriptive writing. So I decided I must have gotten sidetracked by Rusty's direction. I decided to call my pastor on the way to work and discuss how I thought I had been sidetracked by Rusty's suggestions. He let me ramble for a while and finally I made it to work. The conversation had been one-sided, my side. A funny thing happened after that conversation. 4 hours after I got to work, I noticed my brother Brian was sitting in a lunchroom. Yet I decided to ask him if he wanted to read chapter 1, because he has not read any of it since I had written the beginning pages. He read the first chapter, came over and said, "This is awesome." It was like I was there. I immediately gave him chapter 2 and 3. And he came over to me after he read them. I asked what he thought. He said chapter 1 and 2 were great, but chapter 3 was missing something. It could be me because I need to get back to work, but it seems it was missing descriptive writing. I could not believe it. There were those words again, descriptive writing. He had used those exact words. At that point, I laughed and said, okay, Lord, I will continue. With renewed passion, I got the book 3/4 of the way finished when the wind in my sails died. Then God gave me another push to complete the book during a men's retreat at Camp Spofford in New Hampshire. There at the men's retreat during a break, I showed the first couple chapters to a fellow brother named Andreas. He said the book was good and asked how much was left till it was completed. I said the Lord is pushing me to finish it, but I keep dying. It is hard to stay motivated. His reply is what helped me to finish the book. He said, "If God told you to write a book, and if he's telling you to finish it now, you have a choice. You can make time and get it done, or he can allow your leg to break. Then you'll have plenty of time to get it done." After hearing that, I decided I needed to finish the book quickly, because if I can, I prefer to avoid pain. I would rather follow the Lord with him whispering to me saying, "Go that way," than be brought to the woodshed in order for him to get my attention. After that conversation, I found a publisher and finished the book within 2 months. In closing, this also came across my path where there was no wind in my sails. Beyond imagination. It has not entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. 1 Corinthians 2:9, Our Daily Bread, November 21st, 2009. A college professor at a Christian school perceived that his students held a distorted view of heaven. They considered it to be static and boring. So to stir their imaginations, he asked them a question. "Do you wish you could wake up tomorrow morning to discover that the person you love most passionately loved you even more? Wake up hearing music you have always loved but never heard with such infinite joy before. Rise to the new day as if you were just discovering the Pacific Ocean. Wake up without feeling guilty about anything at all. See the very core of yourself and like everything you see. Wake up breathing God as if he was air. Loving to love him. And loving everything else in the bargain. In response to that professor's interrogating questions, the students all lifted their hands. If that's what heaven will be like, and even infinitely more so, they certainly wanted to be there. I go to prepare a place for you, Jesus told his disciples in John 14:2. We all shared a desire, really a deep down yearning, to be in that glorious home forever. It is a place of indescribable bliss, and the supreme blessing will be in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ himself. Vernon Grounds. When we all go to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we see Jesus, we will sing and shout, Victory. Hewitt.